Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining. I know that I have a very difficult task. I'm standing between you and lunch. That's probably why we have such an empty room today. We had like 410 registers. I'm pretty surprised, but you are the warriors that resist to standing here before lunch. So I appreciate that. My name is Yuri Diorgin. I work at the Senior Content Develop at the Enterprise Mobility team. And I also do OMS Security and Azure Security Center. Our team is responsible for both of those technologies from the content developer's perspective. So the presentation here is kind of a continuation of what was done Tuesday and Wednesday by Mayor, who already watched the OMS Security presentation delivered on Tuesday and Wednesday by Mayor here. Just you? Okay, and you. Who is already working with OMS security? I'm being very precise here because OMS is quite big and been receive a lot of questions regarding all the capabilities of OMS. But this talk is particularly regarding OMS security and how to leverage OMS security to incident response in order to mitigate threats on your data center. Okay? And that's our goal today. Now, we all understand that, and Mayor emphasized this during his talk, that nowadays on-premise is very important. Most of the IT shops are still working on-premise, and that's the holy grail for them. There are a lot of things going on-premise that they need to be there. But they also foresee a lot of opportunities out there. They understand the value of BYOD, cloud, IoT. They understand that the opportunity outside of their premises is very large. The problem is that once they start looking at those opportunities, they realize that once they embrace one thing, the entire infrastructure becomes their IT environment. Now is not only that on-premise that you have control, but also the cloud, the IoT, the BYOD, different devices. And of course, this will bring a lot of opportunities. It will bring chances to move the company to the next level, to do different type of business, and to reach mass across the globe. However, the main concern at that point is, okay, now that I have all these devices interconnected, talking to my on-premise resource, I also have a new threat landscape. Each device might expose its own risks, vulnerabilities, and now I have to do threat mitigation for each one of those entry points, because if one entry point is not well protected, I might be able to get into that entry point and just start recon the entire network until I gain access to your private data. So we need to make sure that we embrace technologies in a secure manner and that we are constantly monitoring these resources. Now, in order to accomplish that, we need to have a what we call secure posture. All IT environments nowadays, they must have at least those three core pillars that represent their secure posture. And I really like this slide because it's been used in many other secure presentations, including on the keynote. So who watched the keynote on Monday? They talk about security, and I'm going to ask a question. During that talk, it talked about the average days to detect a threat on your environment. How many days? Who remember that? How many days it takes? Huh? Almost there. Anyone? 200. Who said 200? You said 200. And how many days it takes to recover from that incident? It's a two-part question. It's 200 days to detect. Now I need to recover from that. How many days? Huh? 80 days. Okay, 200 days to identify and 80 days to recover. And that's quite big, okay? And why this happens is because of a lack of one pillar in this secure posture. So let me explain how this works. During many years, we invested a lot in protection. And I myself, I'm an old days guy. I used to work at CSS Security at Microsoft, supporting Forefront, supporting ISA Server 2000, 2004, 2006, Forefront, TMG. Who remember that? You're still using TMG. Warriors. So I'm one of the authors of the Forefront TMG book with Gene Harris and Mohit Saxena. We published that in 2010. And of course, we always talk TMG with great care, right? But those days of protecting the asset only are not enough, okay? Are not enough. Because back in the day with Forefront Endpoint Protection, Edge Protection, things like that, we were so focused on the protection piece of the secure posture. But nowadays, with BYOD, cloud, a different device, different threats, different ways to exploit those threats, we really change our mindset and our approach to a scenario of assuming compromise. You might heard in other presentations and even in our documentation, we talk about assume breach. We are just changing a little bit the terminology to say assume compromise. With the assume compromise in mind, what we are actually telling is, we need to assume that at some point we're going to get hacked, and we need to do something to quickly detect. And once we quickly detect that threat, we need to respond fast. We need to close that gap between detection and response. So that's where your infrastructure changes to work focus on detection capabilities. Now, you cannot rely on old technology and old ways to detect, okay? Oh, I have anti-malware, I'm protected. No, remember the old saying about securing death. It still applies. You still need to have the endpoint protection, but we need to focus on the detection mechanisms. And the detection must be intelligent. It must use behavior analysis, machine learn, because this is how we are able to catch new threats. This is the way that we understand suspicious activity, suspicious behavior, okay? So detection is where we're gonna focus today, because OMS security and Azure Security Center, both, they act really during the detection, and it can help you to respond. It will give you remediation steps for you to apply. It will not respond automatically. It will give you the guidelines for you to apply during the response, but the focus is really detection. So those two tools will be used for that. Now let me give you a classic critical mitigation scenario where we have an attack chain. So this is where we have an attacker that we will start his exploitation from the most vulnerable piece, which is the end user. So the end user is always the weakest link in your security chain. We all know that. And this is done by phishing email. It can be done by phishing email. And you say, wow, so they still use phishing email nowadays? Oh, they use and it works a lot. Why? Because it's sophisticated. It's not just a phishing email. They do an entire social engineer prior to send the email. So they understand with who you talk to. They understand which companies you are partners with. So they send a well-crafted email to your employee and entice them to click on something. Well, when you click on something, oh, thank you very much, Mr. Employee. I just got access to your local machine. So now I can move on and start doing my lateral movement. And the lateral movement here is basically going to look for other user accounts, power user accounts, administrative privileges that I can steal credentials and compromise other hosts. So I'm moving, looking for the hanging fruit, looking for important information. And all these stages that we are looking at right now, you don't see it. Remember the 200 days? These things are taking place and you don't know, okay? So the next stage is I'm going to escalate privilege. Now that I can access different domains, I already got a local user with power privilege on the local machine. Nice. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to go through the domain admin account, domain admin's account. That's where I will see the real deal. Because once I have access to domain admin credentials, I own your network. And at that point, I move on to my attack mission. I will steal data, I will destroy data, I will do something based on the mission that I have. Or I will just transfer data slowly day after day and stay on the network because you don't know. I'm using valid tools to do that. I'm using PowerShell, I'm using just normal tools. So your traditional IDS system might not even know that I'm there because they think that I'm an administrator. I have your credentials, I have everything. So I'm impersonating your traffic and you don't know. Okay, so that's where we need to act. We need to act in those four stages, or as early as possible to identify the threat. Now, the reality, right? Many organizations will learn how to respond to incidents only when after suffering an attack. By this time, it's too late, the cost is too high, and the damage is completely done. Okay, so that's the reality. Many companies will not know that they've been hacked until the damage is gigantic. And we've seen a lot of cases recently in the media that I will not mention any names, but you know what I'm talking about. Recently, we did have a big breach, and you understand how true this is. So we need to detect. We need to enhance our detection mechanism so we can catch early on. But it's not only about the tools that you have. Because if you are completely disorganized on your company and you don't have the right processes in place, and one of these processes is called incident response, then it will be hard to even communicate. Because if it is only the IT administrator that comes to the security chief officer and say, hey, I have some evidence here that we've been hacked and I think something is happening, he will start questioning him. How valid is that data? So that it needs to have a process in place that I can formally report an incident and tell the security guys, here are the evidences, please make the investigation and move on. And there are different types of approach, there are different processes in place for incident response. You can use the NIST approach for incident response. This one in particular is based on an article that we published talking about incident response in the cloud. So this graph that you see in the bottom, you have in this article in more details. It's called incident response in the cloud. And we use five stages: the detection, the assessment, diagnose, stabilization, and closure. Okay? And why I'm highlighting three stages here? Because those three stages are the ones relevant for OMS and Azure Security Center. That's where you're going to see a lot of value using OMS and Azure Security Center. And if you think about those three stages and you read the definition, those three stages belong to the detection within the secure posture. Because the first stage is the detection, which means identify something suspicious. The assessment is basically some preliminary assessment to understand what's going on, so that the investigation can continue. And then the third one is really obtaining and harvesting more technical details about the attack. So in reality, look into the secure posture, those three belong to the detection. So you see a lot of value using OMS and Azure Security Center to help you with that, okay? All right, so how can I use OMS security for incident response, which is the main point of this talk? What we're going to do here, we're going to break out in four stages. Remember the four stages that I talked previously. Phishing email, I'm trying to get access to something. And what you see in parentheses here is basically the relevance for OMS when you start looking at the logs. Because one of the things that I hear a lot from customers is, well, there are so many options with OMS that I just don't know where should I start looking at. So this will help you to guide through some of the tiles, the options. The lateral movement, how can I detect something that is taking place on that stage? Suspicious activity, suspicious process being executed. Same thing for privilege escalations. There is any process being executed is suspicious. Where can I look at this? And last but not least, cleaning evidence. Because after I finish everything as an attacker, what I want to do is to make sure that you don't know that I was there. So what I should do at that point is clean all the evidence. All right? So let me switch here to my demo machine. And this is the OMS using my personal subscription. You see that it's all clean, okay? All clean, no problem at all. So at that point, there is no suspicious activity, nothing. I'm gonna change here the view for 7 days, so to give you a little bit of history, all right? So if we go back, okay, if we go back to previous stage, let's start with the first stage, the phishing email. On the phishing email, ideally, the phishing email, the first phase will be catched by your local endpoint protection that you have on your machine, on your desktop. But in some circumstance, it might be an exploitation of a zero day. So the endpoint protection might not be able to catch, or it's time to maybe it already did something, the endpoint protection was disabled. So some sort of attacks that will bypass the local endpoint protection. In those cases, you might not have enough evidence right away to look at this, okay? One important information here is that once an attack occurs and OMS identify that suspicious activity, it can take between 5 to 10 minutes to populate on this screen. So it's not like you click there and you did something bad and immediately will show right here. There is what we call OMS ingestion, which is obtaining that data because it's coming from your client via agents, send it to OMS, OMS apply the intelligence to understand what's happening, and then we digest that information, we move on. Now, let me go back here and let me use this tool right here. Right, just to make it easier. All right. So when you're looking for suspicious activities regarding downloading piece of malware, one of the things that you can look at is the computers with detected threats. In this particular case, I'm going to use this Ignite OMS machine. I'm going to click on it to filter. And if I look right in the bottom of this page, what I will see is the threat that was downloaded on that box was the ACAR test file. Of course, I was simulating a threat, so I downloaded test malware just to make sure that we have on this log. But this is a type of information that will be critical for you to manage. Not only that, but also information that you see on the right pane, such as the notable issue description. Okay, this is a good information for you to take action. What's happening on that a machine, what you should do, which user did that, okay? These are the user account that was logged on that machine, so you have a little bit of history to investigate. This can also be used in scenarios of forensics investigation, where you need to know exactly who was logging during that moment of the attack, so that helps a lot. Let me go back then to the previous pane. And now let's go to the next one, which is the lateral movement. Now for the lateral movement, I'm gonna use this example here of the suspicious execution, okay? Now, the first pane that I used was the notable issues, okay? Notable issues is for things that we analyze and we identify that it is a problem taking place. It might not be a vulnerability, it might be a valid action. So that's why we introduce some sort of severity. What is high severity is something that you should look right away. There is medium severity and only information, right? So for issues that are security related or just maintenance or computer is not doing what it was supposed to do or user is not doing what it's supposed to do, you're going to look at notable issues. Now, detections is way more powerful because detection, what it will do at that point is going to learn, okay? It's going to use behavior analysis, it's going to use a machine learn. Who is working already with ATA on premise? Or have you heard about ATA? So we use similar engine as ATA for the detections that we have over here. So in this case, I'm going to click on the suspicious process execution. And here, I would like to expand this. And let's see what we have here. Now, one critical information that we have here is OMS is telling me that some analysis was done on this particular box, okay? And historically, you can see here the word historically, right? This machine has been doing some malicious activities. So it's not only today, it looks like this is a pattern. And in this case, this guy right here, the Mimikatz, is being executed on the temp folder. So remember the stage. First stage, I dropped something, I dropped a piece of malware, and let's say on that malware, it also has Mimikatz running on it, a copy to the temp folder. Now I'm executing that file, I'm doing something. And if you know Mimikatz, it can be used for the next stage of the attack, which is the obtain credentials, all right? So now what you have here is a set of suspicious activity that you detect, and now it's time to do something, which is the response, right? Now we provide information here that can be useful for you to go physically on that machine and do something. That's the other scenario, the other part of the... So the next one is the privilege escalation, which is also another phase where OMS can help you with. For this one, I'm going to go to the detections again, and I'm going to suspicious activity. On this case, what we have here is on the same machine, there is a suspicious activity, okay, where the administrator successfully authenticated from client 2 against DC1. Using an unusual protocol. And this might indicate a pass the hash or brute force type of attack. Now, the beauty about this event is that it's not OMS telling you. It's this guy right here. How is that? Because you can integrate your ATA on-premise with OMS. That way, you have way more robust management information. So everything that ATA identify on-premise, it will send over to OMS, and OMS will use the intelligence to filter and show. So that way, you have one single dashboard to manage everything. So that's the other phase that we have. And the fourth one is the cleaning the evidence. Okay, now that I already did everything that I want, what I will try to do is clean the evidence on the machine that I was using. In this case right here, I'm gonna go to the notable issues, and there is something here very suspicious. Although it's classified as informational, end users shouldn't be able to clean the security event log. Why are you doing that? That administrative task. You shouldn't be doing this, okay? So when we go here and we look for more information regarding this event, okay, it tells me that this action was done and it could be something not malicious, but you have to investigate. Why someone cleaned the security event log? Well, so you should even step back and ask yourself why this end user has privileges to clean the security event log. Why and how that was done. If he comes to you and say it was not me, then probably his account was compromised and it was done by this actor that tried to attack the system. That's another important point. So that covers pretty much our first scenario. Now, if we go to the second one, it's a botnet scenario. So on the botnet scenario, what we have basically two stages, okay? The first stage of the botnet is the recruitment infection stage, where it happens usually using the same mechanism, the same way that the first one was done, the phishing email and things like that. And then the second one is the interaction. I'm going to register this to the command and control, and I'm going to establish this communication. So how OMS can help you with that, okay? Let me go back here to the demo machine. Now I'm going to switch to one day, okay? This machine here, this subscription, as I told you, is my personal, so there is not a whole lot of threat intel. So what I'm going to use this other subscription that is way more powerful, is our internal test subscription that we have a lot going on it. And so the threat intelligence, it happens on this pane. You see this map. The yellow represents incoming malicious traffic, and the red outgoing malicious traffic. And this is very, very powerful, because if you think about how do you know if one of your machines is compromised and is actually sending information to a botnet network, is being controlled by a botnet, how do you know that this is taking place? Because sometimes it acts silently. You do not know that you're being controlled. So here, when I click on detect threat types, what I have is my log will show the different threat indication. Since I'm looking for botnet, I will click on the botnet and I'm going to expand. And let me look for something interesting here. There are a lot of interesting logs. Let me look for, let's say this one. It's showing me that this machine is showing me that this local machine that I have, okay, is currently connected, that's the session state, okay, with a botnet network for Configure, okay? And this is the malicious, or in other words, the outside IP address that is controlling this box, okay? And the is located here at the United States. So I have very interesting information to take action, right? If I click on show more, I even have other more information like session ID, port number, okay? And another very important point, the compromise process. In this case, NTOS kernel was compromised somehow, and as this guy is actually doing the work during this communication. Now, this is one example, okay? There are other examples here. That was the Configure example. Let me go for the Pony Loader example. This one here is coming from China, okay? And is a botnet Pony Loader, which is responsible for stealing credentials and things like that. It works by injecting code in a running process. And let's see which process is actually taking this hit is again the NTOS, the kernel, the NTOS kernel. Okay, it's a botnet. Again, we have the session ID. So these type of information are imperative for you to take your response action. Now, you really need to move forward with this evidence and go to the incident response process and pass on so they can apply the response. Okay, well, moving on to the next scenario. Now, I'm going to talk about something that I received a lot of questions throughout the entire week when I was at the Azure Secure Center OMS booth, right? When I should use OMS, when should I use Azure Security Center? And this slide tries to compile this story, try to put side by side some of the key capabilities of each one of those, okay? But in general, the answer is, if you have a hybrid environment, you need to manage on-premise resources, and you need to manage cloud resources, not only cloud resources that are living in Azure, but cloud resources that are living in AWS or other cloud provider, then OMS security is the way to go for this type of scenario. Now, if you are using only Azure and you are monitoring the secure state of VMs located in Azure, then Azure Security is built in. And many of the capabilities are there for free already because there is a two-tier type of approach. Many of the secure monitoring capabilities you just need to enable, no pay anything. Now, if you need the advanced threat detection is where you have the standard that you have to pay for it, okay? So let's use Azure Security Center to do a comparison as far as incident response. What could I do with Azure Security Center as far as secure response? Now, for Azure Security Center, the dashboard is different, as you probably know. Who is already using Azure Security Center here? No, just one using Azure Security Center. Just one? Just one. So you lucky one, you're gonna get the secure Azure Secure Book. I like that you're using. Come over here. All right? Exactly. Sure. The TMG book, I don't have it here. So you believe that people still buying that book? Sometimes I ask myself, really, how is that, right? When I receive the report from Microsoft Pass, why are they still buying TMG book? I don't get it. Yeah. Anyway, so here, the Azure Secure Center that we have on this view, we have the Resource Secure Health, which will show what we are monitoring. But from the incident response perspective, what you need to look at is this pane right here. It's called detection, right? So the secure alerts is where you are going to use the majority of the time when you're working with incident response, during that detection phase, okay? Because here, when I click on this detection, it opens this other blade with more details about all those events that are taking place, okay? Here, the approach is a little bit similar. We do have the date that the event was detected, the state, if it is active or not, and the severity, which will pretty much dictate what you should look first. High severity, of course, you need to look at first. Now, there is something very unique in Azure Secure Center here, which is this secure incident. It even has a different icon. You look at here, it's a little bit different, okay? What that really means. Well, when I click on this security incident detected, what it does is it opens up a series of incidents that Azure Security Center believe they are correlated. So we are applying our intelligence to correlate different types of attacks to one target in your network, and putting together and say, hey, you see this bunch of attacks using different strategies and techniques, they are correlated, and they are going towards your asset. So you should do something. Now here, if you look at the pattern, right, 818, 958 again. Now, the first thing that tried to do was what? A SQL injection. It was blocked. Cannot get access. Now I try a RDP brute force. Failed. But this guy is persistent. He will not give up. So he try again, and he gain access. All right, I'm in. So now that I'm in, let me try to execute a fake SVC host or a compromised SVC host, something. Boom. suspicious process was executed. Next thing that I'm going to do, I'm going to scan the domain to look for accounts and things like that. It can be a LDAP scan. Something was done. It was trying to obtain information regarding accounts. Boom, detected. And now network communication with command and control. Now this I know because I already read all the logs, but you can just click on each one and you're gonna read on this pane more information. The most interesting one, for example, is the last one, because the last one actually tells me, hey, there is network traffic going on between this attacked resource, VM1, to a command and control center for malware. Dridex, a bank Trojan family, steal credentials. So now you know that within your network, in one of your VMs located in Azure, you have a resource that has been compromised and now is talking to a botnet. Better to know this way than you know after the damage is done, because now you can try to mitigate, you can try to put countermeasures or just turn off or do something with that VM so you can isolate and investigate further, okay? So that's the detection mechanism. Now you say, well, where's the remediation? Well, what we do for remediation is we provide some guidelines, the remediation steps. And the remediation step is something that you're gonna give for the response team, the team that is going to perform further investigation to contain the damage, to isolate that machine, and to do something with that information. If it is a case that needs to go to others, external people, there are partners involved, you need to have this investigation first. So that's the value that we aggregate with this. Same thing for the suspicious SVC host. Here, for example, when I look at this event, it tells me that SVC host was running in an abnormal context. So this is Azure Security Center look inside your VM and identifying suspicious activity. And all these things are part of one single secure incident. So you have everything that you need to track down and look and understand what's going on. So that's the value that you bring with Azure Security Center in this case. Again, it's very similar what you've seen with OMS, different interface, different, a little bit different approach, but similar capabilities. The only thing very unique is the Security Center option here that aggregates and makes easier, right, for you to investigate. All right, so if you think about everything that we were talking about until now, one thing, one message you should take home, which is intel, intelligence. Detection requires intelligence. Good detection requires a lot of intelligence. And we provide that intelligence because we have multi-factor authentication that we are constantly learning from patterns and behaviors, data encryption, malware, phishing. We obtain this information, we analyze, and we leverage everything that we learn to protect your assets. So when you using OMS Secure or Azure Security Center, you are taking advantage of everything that was learned to protect you. That's why intelligence is imperative for detection. And our intelligence basically is based on a very unique approach. We have 300 billion users authenticated each month. That's a lot that we learned from those behaviors, from potential malware trying to authenticate, things like that. 1 billion Windows device updated. We also learn a lot from that. 200 billion emails analyzed for spam and malware. So that's a unique power that we leverage and we offer through OMS and Azure Security Center. Okay, so detection without intel, behavior analysis, machine learn, it really old school and does not do a whole good nowadays to protect your assets. Okay. Now, all these things are important, but since I work with the team that is responsible for putting together the documentation for both products, Security Center, OMS Security, it's very important for me to ensure that you know where to look for when you need information, okay? So if you need information about OMS Security or Security Center, you go to documentation, monitoring management, and for OMS, you click here, learn more, okay? So this node, security and compliance, will give you everything that you need to get started and use OMS Security, okay? And for example, on this particular article, I go through every single option in the UI, and then I dig deeper a little bit on this one that I talk only about secure monitoring and what it means. This other one talk only about threat intel, how it works, what it does, how can you leverage, all the options that you have. Then we another one for baseline assessment. So everything is documented. And if something is missing, there is one option here at the end, right, that you can say, is this page helpful or not? Now, if you say no, it's very interesting for me that you provide a feedback, right? That some people sometimes say no, and I'm here analyzing the feedback and say no. Okay, why? Well, that's a very interesting feedback. There's nothing, right? So if you believe that the article can be improved, write something, okay? Because we need to, we hear from you, and this is, there are a lot of conversations going on online. So if we go to Security and Identity and click on Security Center, for example, that's the main page of Security. This article here under Common Scenarios, I wrote last week before Ignite, and this was basically part of the talk, okay? Well, there are many things in the talk that are not here, but if you want to review some of the capabilities that I said, some of the things are apply on this scenario. So you can just use this. And also to make sure that you understand that we do follow up on everything that is documented, if you go to this planning operations guide until the end, you see that there are a lot of traffic here between customer and myself talking. He needs clarification on this, I give, and the communication continues and goes on and on. So again, if you go to our page and you believe it can be improved in the article, leave a feedback and we will definitely follow up. I understand that many times, I'm not going to leave anything. Nobody's going to follow up. Well, we do. We do follow up on everything that you write here. You can write your entire rationale of why you believe it should be improved or how improve, or even give new scenarios. To say, hey, I'm trying to look for this particular scenario here and I just cannot find. Can you guys document this? New things that you are experiencing and we do not have. And last but not least, there is a book signing session happening today. From 1 to 1:30 p.m. at the bookstore for this book that I wrote with my great friend Ton Schindler. Was supposed to be here, but he couldn't come. His wife, Deb Schindler, and it was forwarded by Mark Susanovich. Okay? I'm going to give this one for the guy that answered the question about 200 days. 200 days, yep. So the book signing session will be 1 to 1:30 at the bookstore. The book is available there for if you want to buy it. It's 20% off this week. And again, thank you for being brave. Hold on, you're hungry for having lunch and be here. Okay, I truly appreciate. Thank you very much for your time.